Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is November 13th, 2024. Sean Ross Sapp, we're here for your AEW Dynamite post-show review. I am seizing control of the Fightful YouTube channel, as well as my Twitter, Fightful's Twitter, Jeremy Lambert's, Steven Jensen's, our Twitch, our Facebook, all that stuff. Because we are on all of these platforms. We are also on podcast platforms everywhere. So if you got Apple, Amazon, Spotify, any of that stuff, you can listen to us whenever. And of course, Fightful.com has you covered. But over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 a month in the business, rather, or $54 a year in the business, we got this fella, Alex Pawlowski, over there. Today we had some AEW injury updates. We had a Select Answers feature. And as always, multiple times a week, we got this fella over there talking WWE, AEW, and a number of things. Alex, how you doing?
I'm good. It's the C2 is coming up in a couple of weeks. They announced it. I am on pins and needles because I have laid out. I've come to a decision. I know who the 12 guys in it should be. And if they don't do exactly what I've decided, then I'll be very upset. Also, I know who should win each group, and I know who should go to the finals, and I know who should win the finals. And I was waiting for them to completely do the opposite of all of that and for me to be very angry. So that'll be a fun 2 weeks.
They did officially announce that on Thanksgiving Eve, the Continental Classic does kick off. Mm-hmm. We, of course, will have more scoops on that on FightfulSelect.com. As I mentioned today, we had a bunch of injury updates over there, including some people that are cleared, some people that are not cleared. But a cool new feature for Fightful Select, something I have been begging Patreon to do for years at this point. They have finally allowed gifting subscriptions. So if you got a friend that is constantly like, send me that screenshot, bro, or let me have that login, bro, or you're tired of reading aggregators, of which every one of I've had to correct numerous times, yeah. We can now gift subscriptions. So hey, if you want to be in the giving spirit, go ahead and, I don't know, give away like 1,000 of them, I think. 1,000 of us, the yearly ones. Like, to me,
yeah.
What better way to spend $54,000,
right,
than to gift 1,000 year-long super Fightful Select subscription?
Yeah, that'll be good. I think that's good.
And Drew Nicholas, he will be filling in tonight. He says, I'm filling in for Luis tonight. Get your super chats and Humper Chats in humperchats.com to get your question or statement read and support us. In fact, you can leave these well ahead of time. This afternoon, somebody left a question for the Friday SmackDown show.
Wow.
So, that you can get ahead of things over there, and our great moderators will do that. We want to thank Drew for stepping up. And if you guys are, whether you're watching on YouTube or not, this past week has been an insane one for interviews. A couple of weeks ago, I had Bronson Reed, then Paul London. I had Baron Corbin's last WWE interview. I had Atlantis Jr., who you've seen on MLW, ROH, AEW, CMLL, New Japan. The Hardy Boys, again, of which, Alex, did you see Jeff Hardy's little dig at Eric Watts?
I did not.
So I talked about how they had inspired a lot of people. And there was a WCW Deep Cuts video from Not That Tom Green, yeah, where he talked about Eric Watts claiming that the Hardy Boys asked him to steal his style of fashion. And there are some similarities. And as soon as I started to ask the question, Matt just giggled and he's like, I know what this is about. And with Jeff, Jeff doesn't have this like huge sense of humor, right?
Right.
So you can't even tell he's making a joke until after, well afterwards. And he's like, yeah, man, I believe he and his partner traveled through time and gave us that advice. And then I realized he's talking about fucking Techno Team 2000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Wonderful. That interview. Yes. I also interviewed Rocky Romero. So if you had any questions about, I don't know, like why Kenny Omega decided to return to New Japan instead of AEW, he answers that, all the details behind putting together New Japan AEW shows. And then I also asked him about the Gabe Kid Kenny Omega video that went viral. And then after that video went viral, I hit up Gabe Kid, who is always too excited to talk shit.
Yes.
And Gabe Kid did an interview with me that dropped today, mm-hmm, of which he said, I don't give a shit if he has high verticulitis. He'll wish that it killed him by the time I get done with him. Yeah. And then yesterday I dropped an interview with GCW owner Brett Lauderdale about the process of running events, getting on Triller, all that. And let me tell you guys, I don't want to promote it yet.
Okay.
I'll say this. The interview that I did today prompted someone to reach out that would be the biggest interview of Fightful's year tomorrow.
Wow.
Unless somebody pulls it at the 11th hour.
And they might. And they might.
It may happen just due to the fact that I mentioned this on the air. And I will rush that out tomorrow if it happens.
Okay.
You can get all these early access on tier 2 of Fightful Select. I know that was an extended plug there, guys, but we have been busting our asses this week and very, very proud of that. But yeah, my God. We do have a Humper Chat from Black Phoenix Brand that says, was it me or did that Stanford crowd kind of suck? Wasn't it Bridgeport?
They said Stanford, like Swerve said Stanford, but they announced it as being Bridgeport. I don't know how close the two of things are. I don't
know. They're like 20 miles or something.
I don't know if this if this actually
is. It ain't Shane McMahon, y'all weirdos. What are we talking about? It's Kenny Omega. What? I got to spell it out for you? Come on. What the hell are we talking about here? Sorry to interrupt you, Alex.
That's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I made it pretty obvious.
Right.
They're about 20 miles away, 30 minutes.
Okay.
There you go. Oh man, let's go ahead and get into this show. So, Dong Phallus says, can't invest a soul for AEW angle with all these 2019 tropes, invisible camera, pinning champs, impromptu matches, DQs, authority figures, advertising, hostile takeovers, money in the bank, scripted promos. So, Dong Phallus, I will get to each one of those one by one. Was a champion pinned on this show? I don't think so.
No, they were on this show, but they have been recently. Takeshita took a pin from Ricochet to build that match when we already knew that match was going to happen anyway.
You're right.
Like, so they have done stuff like this over the past few weeks. And it's not necessary.
So yeah, I agree. And listen, buddy, I was big on the Takeshita needs to win train tonight. And we will talk about that. Yeah. But Christian Cage and Hangman Page defeated Jay White and Juice Robinson. Listen, Hangman Page is back on social media on Blue Sky, which makes me very happy. He is wonderful. He is only posting about gardening.
Yes.
Which is even better.
It's even better when you picture this character that he is gardening. Yes. With that scowl and just,
yes.
Plant this chrysanthemum and I'll put the zinnias over here. And
yes, he is intimidating things into growing.
Yeah.
Which is important. Mm-hmm. Christian Cage and Hangman Page, probably the right choice to win this match. I just feel like wrestling is better when Hangman Page is around because he's perpetually over.
For sure.
And Christian Cage, I want to see some evolution out of what he's doing. And we got a little bit of that with Kip Sabian. One minor criticism that I had on Blue Sky when I posted about this show was, if you're going to have your crowd like not lit great and you're going to have the black barricade and the black background, maybe tell everybody on your roster not to wear all black.
Yeah.
maybe have that pop a little bit, but I am interested in what happens with Kip Sabian and this group. He did get involved and cost, who ended up eating the pin here was Juice Robinson, Juice. I believe.
Yeah.
Juice ended up eating the pin there as he got cracked over the head. I feel like the right thing happened here. Now we did have a few screwy finishes here. Not in a situation where it was all of them. I think maybe two out of the five matches or two out of the six matches or so. Mm-hmm. But how'd you feel about this one?
I agree with you. They're trying something with Christian. This to me feels like there was a plan when they put the contract for I get a title match whenever I want thing on Christian that now has changed. And they don't know what to do because they obviously Christian can't cash in on Moxley. And he seems smart enough to know that that would never work out. So he's just going to hold it until somebody else becomes champion. But in the meantime, we're doing something with him and Hook, I guess, trying to get Hook into the fold, even though his dad is alive for now. It seems to be what they're doing. So I did like Hook showing up and like, taking Nick Wayne into the audience and leaving, and then Christian's reaction of being, oh well, like he was very scared for his son for about 12 seconds and then went back to wrestling the match. So listen, I'm interested in more of what we're doing, what's coming out of this from Jay White and Hangman. Hangman getting the pin here on Juice allows him to look good going into the match with Jay White that I feel like Jay White should obviously win, propel him toward something as well. But I thought this was all wrestled very well. I love the way Juice Robinson comports himself as a wrestler in every single way. So this was a lot of fun. I didn't mind the chicanery so much since we know that's basically all that the patriarchy does. So, you know, this is one of those times where I don't mind this one. What I mind it if it's this one and also the other matches of the night. I mind interference a lot less when I see it once, maybe twice, and then I don't see it at all after that. So
it's been like 6-7 weeks since the guns got attacked, and like,
yeah,
I think it's an absence they probably needed a little bit, you know, give the audience a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see them come back with a bit of an adjustment as well, because you can only do that for so long before it wears thin. And I think it's good that they did. Now, I don't know if one of them is injured or anything like that, but it also adds a little bit to this story as well. And I think they both grown into really good performers as well, considering where they were, and they looked like nepotism hires, and then they became completely serviceable performers and put everything they can into their presentation and their emotion and all that stuff. So I'm interested in when we will see them back again. That should be good. But we had Renee interviewing Mercedes Moné. Another criticism I have, although for this segment probably couldn't have happened, I think they need to light their backstage segments much better.
and Mike
than they do. Yeah, much better. Now for this one, there was a reason that they couldn't.
Yeah,
and that's because they were going through drywall, which we will talk about. But a recurring criticism that I have every segment tonight, every segment every week, and for the last 5 years, run your goddamn audio directly from the microphone into the television feed. Stop giving us the same audio that your crowd is hearing because it echoes. We can't hear shit. And then there, like, there's some audio errors sometimes that you hear feedback from the truck and stuff like that. But I'm like, listen, if every other wrestling company can figure out how to feed audio better to where it doesn't have this audible echo on worldwide TV, AEW can figure it out too.
Yeah, it's just, no, I agree. I think I saw you either tweet or skeet something about this. That I'm really loving how they're building Mercedes.
Camille and Mercedes
pushing Camille too far. So that's interesting. I didn't think it would happen this soon. I thought for sure this was the route they would take to break them up. But what I don't want is it to start now. It'd be very obvious that Camille is going to eventually reach her breaking point. But the problem is that the breaking point will eventually be reached, oh, I don't know, sometime in June. Like, let's if you're doing all of this right now, I don't want to see a thing like with Wardlow and MJF, where it was obvious Wardlow was going to break away from MJF, and they held it out for like 5-6 months longer than they needed to. So I'd rather they don't do that with this. So I'm very intrigued to see what they do with Camille.
They've also been given a pretty good example of how to not do it with the Otis Gable thing, because Otis should be white hot right now, and instead he never really had that big violent turn. With Camille, I'm very interested in how it goes, because they'd never reference NWA, in case you all didn't notice. And there's somebody who there are people who I think make concentrated efforts to not mention NWA on this show. But Camille is like, you know, I've been a world champion for over a year before. Yeah. Like I've been to the top, and she is not going to take that type of disrespect for long. I can't imagine it's going to happen long term. I do think that Camille versus Mercedes and then two Renegade twins, ooh, that would go an awful long way. Yeah. And also, you know, obviously Chris and Camille don't like each other because of what's gone on there. But Camille can be like, there's no way I was going to run over you. I couldn't do that. Like almost like it wasn't inept. It was, there's no way I was going to run over another human being. Like that's not who I am. Right. I solve my problems in the ring and with my fists. They end up going through the drywall here, very clearly, like a set-up drywall spot. But listen, I'm a geek for them. I love those.
Yeah. Well,
tear some stuff up, man.
It's one of those things where, like, we're in a hallway, and another hallway starts, and then there's just a wall. And they go through that wall, and the hallway continues. That seems like bad design of this building. I don't know who they're hiring.
How do you get into that room?
I have no idea. So no, that was fun. I really love that Stat speared both of them. Like it speared both of them through the drywall. That was fun too. This should be good. So I feel like Mercedes is just coming up with all kinds of crazy bumps she's gonna take in this match with Statlander. Cause that's who she is, man. She loves taking those crazy bumps off of stuff. The stuff she was doing with Bianca Belair, like, just as strong is Statlander, so that should be a lot of fun.
Would loved it if when they speared through there, you just had a Kool-Aid man just like getting ready, and he's like, it's a good crossover opportunity there that they have not employed as of yet. Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. Now, one of the things this week that Mercedes was complaining about was Camille dropping her $20,000 jacket. Like, she's doing this so well. And I mean, like, listen, that is what I like about what Mercedes is doing is she's playing a heel role very similar to the Young Bucks, the way they used to, where the Young Bucks would take every criticism that you have of them and magnify it and say, well, then if that's what pisses you off about us, we're going to do that. And
we're going to do that.
People try to pretend that Mercedes has an attitude problem or that she's high maintenance or any of these things. So she's like, let me just stretch that out. Let me just magnify that. Let me make it seem even worse than it actually is. But listen, man, you don't got to be high maintenance when you got Nord. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Big pay-per-view weekend, guys. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. Then you got UFC on Saturday night. John Jones, Stipe Miocic. Fightful will have coverage of that. But if you want to get those pay-per-views, especially Saturdays at a much lower price, get NordVPN.com/Fightful. Pay those UK prices instead. I believe Jake Paul, Mike Tyson is on Netflix. But listen, Saturday night, you can save yourself some money. It's a good time. It's a good time. Will Ospreay came out to the ring dressed in all black, as you could imagine. He's followed out by Kyle Fletcher, who is dressed in all black, as you can imagine. Now, I like Kyle Fletcher on the mic. I liked him on the mic before AEW. I always looked at him as a guy who could cut a great promo, and I love that they are getting ahead of him, ahead on him being a guy in AEW, because Takeshita's been there for years. He's finally becoming that. Ricky Starks has been there for years, and they never quite got there on that. Daniel Garcia, been there for years. They're finally getting there on that. Although we didn't see that progression this evening with him, that we saw that on Collision. We are seeing that with Kyle Fletcher. Kyle says that he knows everything about Ospreay, knows his family is concerned for both of their safety, says that Will only let him knows that Will only let him stay at his house and created United Empire for himself. That way Ospreay could succeed on the back of Kyle Fletcher, and Kyle Fletcher would never succeed on his own. Kyle then challenged Will to a match at Full Gear. Will accepted it, and we end up getting a brawl because Will Ospreay said, you know what? I got a couple guys too. And what I love about this, Alex, was it's former Don Callis family guys here. Mm-hmm. Like Mark Davis had been contingent there. Will Hobbs, he's all business. He's just like, my deal ran out with Don Callis family. So here we are. And we get a little bit of a brawl here. How'd you feel about this? To me, this was fairly basic, but it threaded into the next three segments that they did.
Yeah. Which is good stuff. I really liked a couple of things about the promo from Ospreay, saying that you told me like that I would do this what you did, because look what I did to Okada, look what I did to Omega. But you kept saying that you were nothing like me. So if you and I would have the same MO, how are we nothing alike? Pick one. Are you nothing like me, or are we basically one and the same? Are we not so different, you and I? Like, is it one of those things? But I like that a lot. But the thing I really loved was the detail, which was really good. The way he delivered it also was that I was sitting there watching you shave your head, and was sitting there with my son, and I have no feeling in my left arm all the way down to my hand. And I looked down, realized my son had been holding my hand for 5 minutes, but I didn't know he was. That's what you've taken from me. You've taken that experience of being, I don't know, I can't touch my son with my left arm because of what you've done. So I like that little thing there, that the part of that. He came out shaking out his hand a little bit as he walked to the ring. So obviously that's going to come into play. He says, you saw the Tiger Driver was bad, the Screwdriver's bad, I'm going to completely take you out forever. I like there being the backup that that Will has, but the fact that Mark Davis doesn't really want to throw hands with Kyle Fletcher and just wants to be able to get him in a room alone so we can talk some sense into him. And Will is far beyond that. Like, I just want to beat the hell out of him, but Mark Davis isn't at that point. So he's on Will's side just, you know, because of morals, but he's not really willing to actually have a fight with his old tag partner, which is why I feel like there's a very good chance that Mark Davis ends up just going back and being with Kyle Fletcher, joining the Don Callis family and being part of that, rather than actually being a good guy here, because he is objecting so much.
So this transitioned into the next segment, which transitioned into the next segment. Now, this Roderick Strong Lance Archer match was done real quick. They transitioned into it, went into a commercial, came out, and it lasted like 2.5 minutes of Falls Count Anywhere, which was for the MJF, the race to MJF thing.
Yes.
And this was done real quick. They made it short, sweet. It was a fight, a brawl outside. And I don't mind it at all. Like, I'm okay with it, because it conditions, like, if you get conditioned that matches are going to go this amount of time or this amount of time, that's been one of my longtime complaints about AEW was, well, every match would go 8 or 9 minutes. Well, this one went 3. I felt like it accomplished the story. It made Roddy look like $1 million, which you really need to do in this situation.
I was
all for this.
I liked a lot. I liked how Brian Cage came out to take on Roddy as well, and that brought out Taven and Bennett. And Archer had to deal with those guys as well, which might have explained why he went from being completely in control of the match to losing it in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The only complaint I have about it is that if you're gonna do, holy crap, he's knocked out, to a guy like Lance Archer, it should be something more than what appeared to be a glancing jumping knee. Like I guess he took the chair shot first and then the knees will put him down, but it would have been fun if it had been something bigger, falling off of some kind of platform through a table or something, that is what exactly put away Lance Archer. But I don't mind necessarily the match length, mostly because everybody got involved and was distracting Lance Archer, which is why he lost to Roddy. Roddy winning this to me was interesting. I had always thought that MJF's master plan was going to be each guy wins 2 matches and then say, okay, well, who's our next opponent? Come on, give it to us. And it's each other, obviously. Whichever one of you beats the other one gets a shot at me. And I'm really shocked they didn't do that. I'm maybe less shocked by what they ended up doing with Adam Cole somehow.
So 2LT Photo says Kyle's a multi-time future champ. I would agree. Pay-per-view main eventer for sure. And Hassan says, I'm new to AEW. Why does MJF need so much to face him when he isn't a champion? Is it for the ring? I don't remember it being mentioned. Well, this has always been his thing. Like, he likes being Shao Kahn and watching people compete for the right to face him. Because if he doesn't have a championship, it gives him a sense of importance. And sometimes it is an inappropriate sense of importance that he has.
I think that's almost always been his thing. Whenever he was a champion, always make somebody jump through hoops, or when there was a real blood feud that needed to be settled. But this one particularly seems to be like, Adam Cole's like, I'm going to beat you up. I hate you so much. Okay. Well, if you hate me so much, then you have to beat these 3 guys instead. And Roderick Strong seems to have less of a reason to want to beat up MJF. But the thing of it doesn't feel like there is enough of an impetus to make these guys need to jump through all these hoops to get their hands on MJF because of a specific slight, as opposed to just like, well, you're an a-hole and I really don't like you, so I'm going to do whatever I can to get a match against you. But it is his thing. That is his MO for sure.
So I really liked how, again, I I don't know what I expected. And as I watched one segment go into the other, I was like, well, this is rushed, but I think that it benefited every segment. It added more importance to the Kyle Fletcher Ospreay thing, because it showed you how connected it is to so many other things throughout this show. Then Roderick Strong getting that type of win that quick, I think, did a couple things. One, it big win for Roderick Strong, needed a big win there, and much quicker. So again, you don't want to condition your audience. You want to, I don't want to say surprise your audience, but you want the illusion of spontaneity. Then we go straight into Adam Cole and Takeshita. And listen, I am not a big size guy, size for wrestlers matter type of thing, but this was specifically a match. And I was like, how convincing can it look? Because the last couple of weeks, it hasn't. The last couple of weeks, the matches that Adam Cole has had specifically haven't worked to convincing me that this story, one, should continue, should go on, or that he should beat Takeshita, because Takeshita
certainly shouldn't beat Takeshita.
Yeah, and Takeshita as a champion, no reason to beat him. I thought they did a few very smart things here. They played Adam Cole's theme much longer through the physicality than they had before, because the match hadn't started. Well, the last couple of weeks, it's been a little hard for the audience to get into the Adam Cole matches. The crowds like amped themselves up, and this crowd sucked anyway. But when you start it off, the physicality happens, then Adam Cole does his chant, does the boom, does all that stuff. But that was a smart way of getting the crowd into this, and they finish in. And people were reacting to the Takeshita stuff a lot more than the Adam Cole stuff during this match itself. Takeshita finds the ring underneath, cracks him, pins him. Before we get to the post-match, what do you think of the match itself? Because I couldn't be happier that Takeshita won. Nothing against Adam Cole.
No, Takeshita
just doesn't need to be losing.
Now, that's the thing, is that you put Takeshita in this match because Adam Cole is losing it. Right? Like, If Adam Cole was going to win it, you just have him face Brian Cage. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for Don Callis to put his absolute thoroughbred in this match to appease MJF. You put Brian Cage in there, and then you have Adam Cole somehow eke out a victory against this massive Wolverine. You know, like, that's a thing that you do. But if you're not having him win, then Takeshita gets the victory, which he should, and him also using the diamond ring that MJF shipped to Don Callis via a very large black man with dreadlocks in a suit. I don't know if that's DHL or UPS. I'm not sure exactly who that guy works for, but the ring,
it got there on time. It ain't DHL.
That's true. Under the ring is the perfect spot for it. That's where Callis put it. That's where Takeshita knows to look for it. Takeshita probably can beat him without it, but he does it because that's the way that MJF wanted it done. Sometimes, from what I see in movies, when you hire a hitman, you want the murder done a specific way. And so that's what MJF said. I want you to do it with this particular weapon. And that's what he did. I thought to myself, when they had Ricochet pin Takeshita in the tag match last week, well, now you definitely know Adam Cole's not winning that match versus Takeshita, because they'd never have Takeshita get pinned twice in a row leading into it before his first real title defense. You would never do that. So what I thought was, if they didn't do that last week, perhaps he would have lost this week to Adam Cole because Ricochet decided to put his stamp on things. And because of that, the embarrassment of losing to Adam Cole, Takeshita grants Ricochet his one-on-one match for the international title at Full Gear. But that all happened post-match after Takeshita won anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Adam Cole losing here, Roddy Strong getting the Full Gear match, to me means Roddy Strong loses to MJF at Full Gear, and Adam Cole gets the World's End match 1 year after the Devil reveal. It's the perfect time to do a full circle thing where Adam Cole and MJF have that one-on-one match at that moment.
Do you think Adam Cole costs MJF the match against Roddy Strong?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if he does, I guess that's what I usually kind of don't like people being cost matches, but I'd rather MJF come off a victory over Roddy Strong, obviously via cheating, because that's all he ever does.
Sure.
But like, he cheats to beat Roddy Strong, maybe puts on the diamond ring and is going to try a beat down, but Adam Cole runs him off. And that's how we move into the, and maybe he makes him go through another set of hoops to get the match versus, to get a match against him at World's End.
Here's the way that I look at it. Although MJF's victories and appearances are sporadic this year, to say the least, mm-hmm. since he lost that world title and he came back, he has lost one match, and that's all in London. So from a kayfabe standpoint, it's like, how do you keep him away from the world championship if he has beaten Daniel Garcia and Roddy mm-hmm. Strong and, you know, even Michael Oku overseas and Will Ospreay a few times? If he's won like 9 of his last 10, how in a kayfabe sense do you keep him away? Well, if Adam Cole costs him the match against Roddy sure. Strong, that also gives MJF a reason to want to give Adam Cole what he wants.
Yeah, that's true. I think that a lot of what he's doing, he's big timing AEW.
Sure.
You're paying me all this money, and as long as I make my dates, you still got to pay me the money. But I'm over here getting paid millions of dollars to be a movie star. So I'm going to do that and save my bump card for when I'm over 30. You know what I mean? Like, he can easily make it like, I'm bigger than the AEW world title. I'm over here making Happy Gilmore 2. How many of you can say that you're making Happy Gilmore 2? Nobody. He can do crap like that.
Valab says, I prefer if MJF brutalizes Roddy to get that babyface sympathy for Adam Cole against MJF. Yeah, that's a real possibility. That's certainly a possibility. I am interested in the Kyle O'Reilly element of this because one of my dream matches is the Elite versus Undisputed Era. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Young Bucks are gone. I it would surprise me if they didn't come back and try to babyface and say, you know, we took for granted what we had. The old right. AEW version of Sergeant Slaughter, I want my country back type of thing. didn't know what I want my company back.
I'm all for the Bucks coming back and trying to be baby faces. However, if Kenny Omega is ever back, he'd be like, that's fine. However, you tried to murder me with my own diverticulitis. I feel like we have beef, and that's going to be something that needs to be said.
According to Gabe Kidd, they were doing him a favor, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Manda says, what's going on with Adam spray tan? Did he lose a bet? That man is orange as hell.
Yes.
He was the same color as this super chat from Vicky that we will be reading.
Yes.
What the hell? It's like he did a Halloween costume of Bart Simpson and worked himself into a shoot and couldn't get it off. Like it was, I remember when the HD era started on WWE and they outlawed spray tans for a number of years. They said, don't do it.
Nope. Doesn't look good.
Oh man. So John Moxley is out. I just want to say this. There was no seizing the superstation.
That was just a regular John Moxley promo. Why would you open yourself up to criticism by calling it what you did and then just do a normal John Moxley promo?
Does
beating up JD Drake count as seizing the superstation? Because I feel like it doesn't count as that.
He seized the superstation and he's like, I just like the graps, brother. That's it. I'm just gonna watch.
I think it was Jeremy Lambert.
He was just really stoked for Leo Rush versus Swerve. That's it.
I believe it was Jeremy Lambert who said, "You really want to show your season superstation? End Big Bang Theory 5 minutes early." You know what I mean? Like he should have come on, broke into the feed, and like that's it. We're taking
over. Jim Parsons.
Get out of here, Shelton.
Listen, was there a Chris Jericho tonight?
There was Chris Jericho tonight.
Where was there? Anywhere worth going? is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The backstage segment where he and Big Bill and Brian
right
talked he's, about how in 2 weeks
I was gonna say
Hiro Ishii and blah blah blah.
Okay, so we don't have to cover that segment, but no. They're doing a full gear match. But I was like, listen, if they didn't have Jericho on there, continue to give TBS seizures if that's the case.
That's true. This is the other thing. Thank God they're actually not doing a full gear match. Jericho and Ishii is not happening until 2 weeks from now on the Thanksgiving Eve show of Dynamite.
You're right.
We have, blessedly, a Jericho-free pay-per-view card, everybody. We won!
He seized Triller TV as well.
He seized that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't make sense of why they promoted this as John Moxley seizes TBS. Like, what? Again, this was just a Moxley promo. And he said Orange Cassidy has the chance of a lifetime. Moxley needs to make an example out of him. Then Cassidy comes out.
Yeah.
I'm just baffled by this. Like, listen, I was fine with the promo. Orange Cassidy said,
I liked him. Like, this is the guy who steps up, so I have to put him down extra hard so everybody else runs and hides so we could continue doing whatever we're doing because I'm the champion and I run stuff. That's a very standard promo a couple of weeks before a pay-per-view from the heel champion. Good stuff. Yeah.
In a vacuum, it's fine. After promoting for days that John Moxley is seizing the superstation.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just like, why? Like, play some old Braves games or something. Get Sid Bream out there with you.
Break Sid. It's just Dale Murphy taking batting practice.
Yeah. Go rough up Jeff Blauser. Show me that it means something to you. Don't give me a promo. Fine promo.
It's a tag team match between Claudio and Pac versus Blauser and Mark Lemke. Just let's see what it goes on.
We didn't even get John Moxley out there marching. Good morning, USA. None of that. He didn't have a little alien with him.
None of that. Weird. Anyway,
I was just like, somebody says, "Is it that big of a deal?" Well, yeah, it's the literal. It's the thing they promoted most for this show.
I don't know why. John Moxley will appear. We'll hear from John Moxley. Would have been the same thing that he did tonight, as opposed seize control. I was looking forward to seeing what seizing the superstation was going to be, and turns out it's just Jon Moxley getting a promo. And so I feel a little cheated. A little cheated. That's all.
People who called in on WWF LiveWire had more control over the show than Jon Moxley had tonight. Yes. But again, in a vacuum, completely separate of that false advertisement there, the promo was good. Like, I like that. Orange Cassidy said, for a guy that doesn't like wrestling, I do it pretty good, huh? Mm-hmm, and said, I also beat you, and I'm going to beat you at Full Gear. And he challenges Wheeler Yuta to a match next week because he says he wants to take out the pawn. Now, there's a little element of this that I really liked. Claudio was clearly telling him, shut the hell up to Yuta, because Yuta was showing that it got under his skin.
Yuta's like, I am no man's pawn.
Yes.
Like, very dramatic. And then Claudio looked at him like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what are you doing? That was so, the look that Claudio gave Yuta after he said, I am no man's pawn.
And like he was like, don't let them
show. Anakin Skywalker in episode 3.
He was very much like, don't let them know that you're rattled by this. Like, it was his way of saying that. Yeah. Now, they end up, as Death Riders leave, Darby Allin jumped off the balcony and attacked them, which leads to a phenomenal moment where Claudio swings Darby into the door.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
They all run away. And get into the truck, which belies the whole Death Riders thing. I don't think they should be running away from anybody, much less Darby Allin. But they get into the truck, and Darby jumps into the back of the truck and then tries to pull Claudio out of the driver's seat, who gets out and obliges him by running him full speed 100 yards into a garage door and then swinging him back and forth into the garage door and then leaving. I love just how businesslike Claudio is with his beatdowns as part of the Death Riders. It's so great. Then they book a Claudio versus Darby Allin match for next week on Dynamite. And if Darby Allin wins, then I'm going to throw a fit.
So we got a bunch of super chats, bunch of humper chats about this. Please keep sending them in, guys. Tom LaValle says Darby Claudio just for Alex next week.
Yeah, just for me.
Maddie Nice says, if OC doesn't win now, they need to injure him and have him come back to defeat Mox once and all for the belt. It'll be AEW's Mankind moment. I don't hate that. I would just love to know, and I hope AEW knows, what's next after that. What's the follow-up? Far too often in AEW, what we see is people just vanish after losing big matches.
Yeah.
And it brings a lot of the momentum of the program to a screeching halt because what the show has been focused on for months and months and months is then gone. But I love the idea of OC getting injured and then coming back and then eventually winning it after this reign of terror.
Yeah, I like that too. I think that what we'll see at Full Gear is OC being beaten bloody, barely able to stand, and being like, is that all you got, you son of a bitch? Until finally Moxley has to basically kill him. Like that would be a really cool thing for Orange Cassidy to have to stand up in that way to that kind of onslaught from Moxley. And if that leads to an extended absence, and then when he comes back, he gets another match versus Moxley and beats him again, I think that's a great arc for him.
Our good friend Vicky says, hey, SRS and Alex, what do you know about Renee potentially getting involved in Mox's story? Heard she may be questioned by talent about his behavior. Do you think they'd involve her at all? I would love it if, like, one of the talent, like Daniel Garcia, was being interviewed by her, and he's like, let's be real, what's up with him? What's going on?
What's going on with this guy?
And obviously, Daniel Garcia's not going to physically intimidate her. He's not.
Right.
He's just going to be like, what gives? What's the deal? And she can even be like, listen, I don't like it, but we separate work and personal life type of thing. Like, because you have to absolve her of any blame.
Yes, you do.
You have to babyface her as much as possible.
You do.
Eric says, wanted to get your thoughts on the Mox interview with the New York Post, seeming to be very critical about AEW's direction. It's largely in character. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard of that actual situation happening that he talked about, but it created a lot of buzz. You can only have so many restore the feeling, reset right. moments, and that's what they're trying to do. But he also says, listen to some Busted Open Radio earlier. Many fans felt the same way. Unhappy Bully and Dave also went in hard on Tony not getting it. Well, listen, there's 5 hours of programming a week, mm-hmm. whether it be WWE, AEW, TNA, New Japan. There's going to be plenty of things that I watch and on one of those shows and say, well, that sucks, because mm-hmm. I don't believe there is a wrestling company on the planet that every right. single week can put on five pristine yeah. compelling hours of wrestling yeah. TV. It's very hard to do, Alex.
Yep. Yeah, no, it really is. You can't. It's perfection is certainly what you hope to strive for, but it's very rarely attained. And if it is, that's a virtual guarantee that the next week ain't going to be that. So, yeah, you can't do that. So there's certain things you're going to find fault with. I like that it seems like, even if it isn't in character, that it seems like it should be. Like, basically that we're trying to change things around here for the better. That's what he is saying. I mean, I don't know. They've gotten away a little bit from the, I'm just trying to make everybody light a fire under everybody's ass. So they improve themselves, because too many people are sitting out here being complacent. So if it's part of that is like these kids that are kind of too scared to speak up for themselves, well, I'm going to give them that motivation to do it. Maybe that's part of this as well. I do think it's largely in character for sure.
Eric said, some solid matches, but still very meh to me. Just my personal opinion, but I feel like AEW is a mess right now. Some of the Mox stuff is great, but outside that, it's just bad. Crowds are bad. Booking is bad. Numbers are failing. Well, I mean, booking is a subjective thing. Crowds, okay, well, I'd be interested to what you think of New Japan or TNA. And I ask you this because you're saying numbers are failing, not they're falling, they're failing. Well, what do you consider WWE's numbers compared to this time last year or two right. years ago, or when the Fox deal started? Like, there are different metrics compared to, you know, what we used to have. They just got a new TV deal. We don't know what their viewership is going to be. Come January,
right, no,
those Nielsen numbers are null and void now that it's going to be streaming on Max. Right, the yeah. Raw numbers, now that it's going to be streaming on Netflix, null and void. Right. We can try to base it off crowd size as best possible, but even then, that's it's tougher to measure that yeah. today yeah. than anything else. But if you don't like the booking, well, I mean, that's personal opinion.
That's personal opinion, but I also feel like, to me, it's hard to say that everything outside of the Mox thing is bad. Like, I would disagree with that. When the Moxley and Fletcher story, I think it's just beginning, and it will be very good. I think that a lot of the in ring has been excellent. Storyline the Ricochet and Takeshita, I'm very, very excited for that. It feels like it's important. We're getting into the C2 season, which is where the best in-ring happens, because there's no chance of any shenanigans taking place. So, like, I'm very excited about it. I mean, certainly you can be like, well, I don't care about that, so it's not for me. Well, if it's not for you, then it's not for you.
You know what we haven't seen in a while, Alex?
What's that?
Moxley busted open. I bet I know why.
Nobody wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone. There's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's just so much. Where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. That's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs, and then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at manscaped.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL? If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the go bag as well. They got the groin and go bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL.
We also had Britt Baker defeating Penelope Ford. Let me tell you a couple things I like about this. One, Britt going for the win quickly. Britt getting a match to win, by the way. You gotta reinvest in her now that she's back. They had some plans for it. Didn't work out a few weeks ago. I mean, obviously she got sick and couldn't make it to the show. And then they had other plans and something came up there. So they're moving forward with the Serena Deeb thing. I don't like how they set it up, but I did like this match. I liked them having Britt beat Penelope, who is coming off of objectively the biggest feud of her AEW career with Jamie Hayter after immediately returning. They capitalized off the return of Penelope Ford because nobody talked more about Penelope Ford than when she was out and people were like, where's Penelope Ford? They bring her back. She delivered pretty well in that match against Jamie Hayter. They put her in this situation. Loved the finish. Really loved the finish. The Mutalock countered into the Lockjaw. The only thing I was just like, eh, was just Serena walking out there being like, oh, you. And I'm like, I just want y'all to try a little bit harder on that one. But the match, I liked it.
You know, you say it's the biggest feud of Penelope Ford's career, and I wouldn't disagree with you. The problem is that the biggest feud of her career ended up with a loss to Jamie Hayter, and that's it. They had one match. It was 5 minutes long.
Four and a half.
And she lost. 4.5 minutes long, and she lost, and that's it. And then she comes off of that loss against Britt, who hasn't like been on a hot streak or anything,
which
and then
might
loses
be-
again.
Which is probably in the top five in length of her AEW matches that are off of Dark.
Like, I think she's really... This is what I pitched for her. I think she'd be a very solid third in the Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie group.
Okay.
I think she'd be a very solid third there. I think that would get her more TV time, Rampage and Collision. I think that there's something they could do there. Also, she could be like, hey... girls, now that we're a trio, you know who I think we should totally beat up? Jamie Hayter. It would give Jamie Hayter something to do. I think the matches between Jamie Hayter and Deonna and Taya would be really interesting as well. I like this vendetta of Deonna and Taya. I just think the two of them is not enough. They cut a promo on Rampage saying they were accepting solicitations to be their new clients. Maybe Penelope Ford needs a little help to get back off the schneid.
Yeah, overall, I mean, I thought this match ended up okay. I love the finish. And somebody asked me today on the What's Up, You Guys podcast, like one thing that I think that AEW is doing better than WWE, developing underneath contenders for women's titles.
Yep.
They're setting up Camille for something. They had Deonna and Thunder Rosa do their thing. They had the Jamie Hayter program with Penelope, and now they're doing another one. They're working Mina Shirakawa back in and doing the thing with Penelope Harley that I mentioned earlier. Yep. They're doing very good with that. And now Britt Baker is back in the fold and working with Serena. This is the progress that I was hoping to see backstage. Mina Shirakawa is there. We're going to have more news on her absence and return. And she's just happy to be back. I mean, she's straight up, like, you can tell how happy she is that she is a hit in America, and it's working really well. And Harley Cameron shows up and starts, like, I mean, shaking it like Mina does. And what, like, Harley Cameron is a home run.
She's phenomenal, man. Phenomenal.
She's fantastic. She's such an entertainer. And what I love is she always tries to match whatever her opponent is doing and do more, like the Thunder Rosa paint and all that stuff. I remember there was, I can't remember who it was that was like doing something extremely violent, and she pulled out a knife in a promo, and Serena was like, no, that's a knife. You can't use a knife.
Yeah. No, that's great.
She is a home run. She's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it, like that. She was doing a rundown of all the stuff that she's done since she's been in AEW on a promo, I think on Rampage. I said, so tried to break up a couple who ended up getting married and having a child. Congratulations. Like, so she was just, she's such great comedic timing, and line delivery is so good. But she threw in a, instead of a tit for tat, a tit for tit, and made the breast woman win. She like, she threw in like, she's really,
it is, it is where the breast wrestle.
It is where the breast wrestle, and also where they wrestle. So
yes, that is true. Tom LaValle says desperately needed another women's match tonight. I don't think, I could always go for another rest women's match. I don't think they desperately needed one, and right. It was a spoon, but they had the Mercedes, Chris, Camille thing. They had Serena pop up. They had the Julia Hart, Jamie Hayter thing, which we're about to talk about. They had the Harley Cameron, Mina thing. Marina Shafir was involved in the show. There were a lot of women featured on this show.
There were.
And Chi-Town Spurs says Harley Cameron reminds me of Daffy Duck. I can't elaborate further. Listen, that's a hell of a comparison.
Yes. Daffy Duck is one of the greatest characters in animation history. The heyday of Daffy Duck is unmatched.
Hated getting one-upped, always wanted to one-up other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Harley Cameron is the duck season, rabbit season.
Like her, like, I love You Face the Wrath of Harley Cameron's very funny. I think her new catchphrase needs to be, of course you realize this means war. Like, I think because she's always trying to get into blood feuds with everybody. A little nod to Daffy Duck would be so good.
She's so good. I mean, just a few years ago, we didn't really have comedic women's characters.
No, man, we did not.
And I remember when Wendy Chu first popped up as her like sleeping gimmick, I was like, my God, and this is before Chelsea Green was a big hit. I was like, man, if you put Wendy Chu on the main roster, she would be the main roster's Santino. And I mean that in a very good way. Now we're seeing a lot more of them. And look at Chelsea Green getting over. Yeah. Look at Harley Cameron getting over. Mm-hmm. It's going really well. Just Ricardo says Harley needs a big raise. Deserved. She's fantastic. She is fantastic. Also fantastic, Jamie Hayter, because she addresses the elephant in the room. She's like, mm-hmm. I had some plans. I had some things I wanted to do. I handled them, and now I've got one goal. And then it gets cut off by a Julia Hart video. We had reported on FightfulSelect.com. She was headed back soon. We saw one this past weekend.
Yeah.
Glad to see her back.
This is some really quality, like, stuff here in the vignettes. Like waking up with the blood stain on her shirt from being shot by herself with an arrow on Collision. And then she answers a phone and it's Brody. It's time to come home. And she realizes the receiver isn't even connected to the thing on the app. All that's great. The hat and all of it. Like, this is so great. She has been so sorely missed because she added something so great. I still think for sure, best entrance in all of wrestling when it hits the exact right time. That song, the lights, everything, her aura, she's amazing. I'm very, very excited to see what we have in store. If the vignette interrupting Jamie Hayter is to signify we're getting Jamie Hayter versus Julia Hart matches, I'm all for all of that. Could be really, really great.
We also have Eric sending a humper chat saying, I will say real quick, however, I've loved the last 2 weeks with the Julia Hart stuff. That stuff has been very good. Very happy about her return being close. Definitely completes House of Black. This is Eric, who had said that he felt like AEW's content was sort of going downhill. Again, the women, we set up Mina and Harley Cameron. Harley Cameron is a storyline of her own. Mina Shirakawa is going to come back and be involved with Mariah May and probably Toni Storm. Britt Baker, Britt is the first. That's her, and she's always going to be that sort of anchor. She's got an involvement with somebody. Jamie Hayter now involved with Julia Hart.
Yeah.
Deonna Purrazzo's got her stable going now. I think they're starting to do really, really good there. And unfortunately, Willow got injured. Like you can't predict that. She got the concussion, but I think they're doing really good. I'm liking it, and it's something that I've definitely got noticed for.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Alex, listen. So my friend Destiny FOMO.
Yeah.
She's she's successful on the OnlyFans.
Oh,
well. Good friend of the show. Formerly sponsored the show.
I remember that.
She posted a picture of like her gaming setup. She's a big gamer. And I noticed she had on a tripod an ear. And I said, Destiny, what's that for? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I lick it for a lot of money. And that's what I feel like doing over this match. I have long been a proponent of Leo Rush. Mm-hmm. I first saw Leo Rush live. First off, the first time I saw him wrestle was against Damian Priest in the ROH Top Prospect Tournament. And let me tell you, did they ever hit on that?
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I saw Leo Rush in person was after the Hurricane in 2017. I went to NXT tapings, and he did the spot where he hits the ropes, cuts, and I can't tell you how difficult that is. And I always felt like if he really found something to sink his teeth into from an in-ring standpoint, I thought he could be like a Rey Mysterio type and really, really put people in awe. Unfortunately, he retired once, by the way, guys. One time, for those of you being weird, he dealt with some serious injuries, some serious illnesses, and had some absences, and he feels like he is on his shit, is in his bag right now. He and Swerve match up really, really well. Really well. And I'm a big Leo Rush guy. I'll always be a big Leo Rush guy. Multi-talented. But this was hell of a match. Was, exactly what I needed. And loved it. Loved it, man.
I loved every bit of it. I loved the segment that set it up with Leo Rush, the promo he cut on Collision. Talking about I'm not sure if I'm ready to join up with MVP's guys, but like this has lit a fire under me. I'm gonna prove that I'm worth every bit of that against Swerve. He's got a really great persona that he plays with this. It's really fun stuff. The match itself was tremendous. The sequence on the outside that eventually led to the Poison Rana. Which was just like that. You could tell that Leo was going to do something, and every time he tried something, Swerve had it thwarted until finally, oh crap. And like it was one of those things you could have freeze framed Swerve as he started to go backwards, and he'd go like, I'll bet you're wondering how I found myself here. Like it was one of those moments. It was really, really excellent. I loved it. I loved it. He hit the frog splash, got a two count, and was still in control. But if Swerve hits the big pressure, formerly the JML driver on you, you're done. That's all she wrote. And that's like Swerve was doing his damnedest to stay in control, but Leo kept fighting back from underneath, and eventually he got hit with something he couldn't kick out of. That
fantastic. Was
fantastic. The match was excellent. Loved the finish. I was not the biggest fan of what happened next.
Yeah, it felt like the last 2 weeks, like I don't know if the legs got cut out from underneath it or whatever, but I feel like Swerve should have gone above and beyond to try to fight these guys, and it should be a situation where even though it's Bobby Lashley, even though it's Shelton Benjamin, like we've seen the attack from behind thing a million times. Now, do I believe that Swerve could get so emotional that he puts himself in a poor position? Yes, and that's what I think should happen because Swerve has been the mind game guy for so long.
Right.
And that could be something that MVP says, one of the reasons that we wanted you was because you didn't let this type of stuff get to you. But that's also, you know, one of the reasons we wanted you is because you're willing to fight three people like us at the drop of a hat. This one and last week didn't quite hit. And
at Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want to see what they do next week to really put the stamp on this. Because, listen, it's right. tough to live up to the last year of Swerve Strickland. It sure. is real tough.
Yeah, it is.
But you got to do something big in order to put an exclamation point on this and make people go, oh, okay. All right, then.
Yeah. The big deal I have with this is that he calls out Lashley and the rest of them, the Hurt Syndicate. And Lashley and MVP come out, and immediately commentary is like, well, where's Shelton Benjamin? We know he's here. We saw him in that backstage segment earlier. And if commentary is like, there's a third guy, where is he? Then I feel like Swerve, who should be about the most street smart guy on the entire roster, should also be like, where's the third guy? You're not getting the drop on me. You know what I mean? He should be smart enough to do that. I do not think it was set up in a way that it was like, I'm so emotional, I can't think straight. Because that's not what he was doing at the time. He wasn't interrupted. He called them out. He should know how many guys are supposed to come out of the tunnel when he calls them out. And only two of them came out, and we were just waiting. MVP straight up said, the reason that we want you in our group is because we know the numbers game always works. 1,001, 1,002, yeah. 1,003, 1,004. At some point, you got to know the dude's coming from behind you because everybody at home knows the dude is coming from behind you. So I would have loved it so much more if he had realized it in time to turn around, duck a clothesline, and start throwing punches with Shelton. But because the numbers game is there, Bobby Lashley slides in, grabs up the hurt lock from behind, and now it's just Shelton throwing punches at the body as he chokes him out. Because you can be smart enough to not let a guy get the drop on you, and still the numbers game takes advantage. I don't like Swerve being made to look like an idiot, because to me, that yes. is what he was made to look like.
So I always remember the Road Warriors Legion of Doom DVD, the WWE made like 20 years ago. And Road Warrior Animal explained that baby faces that are dumb are not worth cheering for. Yep. Yes. And he always wanted it to be a thing. Like, you weren't going to ask the Road Warriors to take a math test for you, but if you wanted somebody to fight somebody, you would count on the Road Warriors because they were street smart. Yeah. And that's the way that a lot of performers need to be. And with Swerve, I think it would have really worked out well if Shelton gets in there, like goes to attack him, throws him up for a move. Swerve takes him out very quickly. I mean, like with the big kick. And then it looks like he's going to do something else. He jumps over the top rope onto Lashley, going after him. Lashley slightly gets that upper hand, throws him into the stairs, rolls him in, full Nelson. Because that's the numbers game. Even I think that could have appeased all people there.
Right.
I think that could have worked. Main event. It was a great main event, too. Kings of the Black Throne defeated FTR. I love this as a main event, too. Tell me that this matters. And then the four performers in the ring are telling me that it matters because they're putting on a fun match. FTR teasing Malakai Black, doing his pose down on the floor. But let me tell you, my favorite thing about this was that Brody King chokes out Dax, put to sleep, full on Lou Ferrigno and I Love You, Man, put him in a sleeper. Out. Done. He was done. And this is great because Brody King rules. Loved this. Loved every single thing about this, Alex.
It was great. It was really great. I did not expect FTR to lose this.
Me either.
To me, there are three teams that have been either allied or each ally has been separately and also together feuding with another team that is likely to be in this. Like the Outrunners and FTR have at different points over the past couple of months come to blows with LFI. Having all three teams in that thing with Private Party kind of just seems like a like the way they were going. Do I love the fact that Kings of the Black Throne are in title contention? Yes, because Malakai and Brody are great together. It's a wrinkle. I think that there's a lot of people who think this might be the catalyst, the beginning of a catalyst for FTR turning heel. They've been a little bit more heel toward Private Party, and they were like brushing past House of Black on Saturday on Collision. They've been a little bit more heelish here, but they just lost straight up clean. They just lost. So maybe they're like taking the Outrunners under their wing, and the Outrunners got
That's
in.
That's what I want to see.
Somehow, the Outrunners somehow beat Top Flight, which should never happen under any circumstances. But the Outrunners are in this thing, but FTR isn't. So maybe that's the team that they turn heel on. Please, please, please. And then LFI, I'm assuming, beats the Acclaimed, which leads to a further split between Bowens and Caster. My thing that I want is I want Caster to come up to MVP with the card that he gave him. I'm ready to join after he and Bowens have words or something. And he says, "Where's your friend?" "Well, we're not working together anymore." "But you don't want you. We want him. We're willing to help you if it's a passage deal, but we don't want you." And that pisses off Caster more and gets him to fully turn on Bowens, because everybody thinks you're better than me, but I'm the greatest wrestler alive thing. I think that would be a really great way to get
I want to see Bowens turn heel and join. Leave Caster out.
I'd rather root for Anthony Bowens than root against him. But
fair. That's fair. Yeah, to me, the Outrunners FTR thing is so elementary and easy to do, and it would be great. FTR, like, are you fucking kidding me? We're passionate, and we get trolled for it online for how much we love wrestling, and you all love this goddamn meme team. That's what you all like? Is that we could have been doing this. We got mustaches. We could have done this a long time ago. This is what you like?
Yeah.
Man, Yeah. Wesley Ham says, any update on Black's contract after his and Brody's win on Dynamite? Same as it's always been. Tony Khan claims it goes into 2027, but that is with the options. Assuming AEW picks it up, those options would be fairly soon.
Yeah.
Vicky, our good friend, says, hey, SRS and Alex, Darby is concerning me. No Sting beatdown, please. Love House of Black winning. Please give them their due. The whole Mox thing, heart you guys. I mean, I fully think that we're going to eventually see Sting as a presence holding a bat, keeping guys away from a Darby title match in the future. Whenever Darby does win that, Sting will be there for him, sure. Not in a Bogarting the stage type of way and taking his moment, but a watching over him as the father type of situation.
Yeah.
Alex, anything else you got?
I think we covered everything. I'm Full Gear looks fantastic.
Yes.
They haven't officially said that we're doing Ricochet versus Takeshita, but we're definitely doing that. I do feel like, I feel like my longtime co-host Kate would, if she were here, would say, so we're doing Mariah on a Collision, and is she getting the Mina match at Full Gear? Because that would be two pay-per-views in a row where we got, I think that would be two pay-per-views in a row where we got one of the two titles defended, but not the other one. You have two big stars. We have one world championship, and the other championship is being held by a major star. You should find out a way on a 10, 11, 12 match card to put both women's titles on the card every time.
As opposed to some throwaway ROH match that should just be on ROH TV to beef up that thing. Don't give me some matches that I don't need on Full Gear. This is one thing I am begging Tony Khan to listen to moving forward.
We don't need 12 or 13 match shows. We don't need them. It is not necessary.
I mean, I don't mind if they want to throw six matches on the 0 hour, whatever. But on the main card, you don't need to have that many stuff.
I don't need that many on 0 hour. I feel bad for people that are there for 5 or 6 hours. I'm like,
okay,
you got to bring a tent with you at that point.
I get that part.
Guys, check out the What's Up You Guys podcast that ran today. Also, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 a month or $54 a year in the business. You can now gift subscriptions. A lot of people have been asking for that, and man, boy, did I push for it on Fightful Select. There was that and a number of other things that for years I pushed for them to get rid of the thing where it would bill you on the first of the month no matter what. And thankfully, right, they got rid of that like a year and a half ago. So they are listening to us. FightfulSelect.com.
Yeah.
Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Bye.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.